And we're holding on Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots, about 15 lines or so from the bottom. Line begins with Dershus Rabim. We learned in the Mishnah that you have the four Ovis Nezikin, and one of them was Mav'e V'Hever. The last two were Mav'e, which now we're going to work on defining, and Hever. Hever means fire. Mav'e, that's what we have to work out now, what it means. So my mother, Rav Oma Mave Za'odam. Rav says that Mave refers to damages caused by a person. And why he uses the word Mave for it, where we see the word Mave, it means a person, we're gonna explain in a second. Or Shmuel Oma Mave Zuhashem. Shmuel says Mave refers to damages by an animal eating with its teeth. Now we said before, we discussed Shein before, we discussed that type of hezek. We had in the Mishnah Shur, Bur, Mava, and Hever. We said that Shur included a few different kinds of Hezek. So now we're saying that Shmuel is saying that the Mishnah is singling out Shein when the animal eats and calling it a separate Avnezikin. Why? We'll see soon in the Gemara. So first, where did I get it from linguistically? Rav Amar Mava Za'odam Dichtiv. You have a Pasuk in Yeshaya. The previous Pasuk says that Avi Kodem say Masa Duma, he starts by saying, and Nevuah about Duma, which is the name, among other things, of Malach and Edom. Avi Kodem Seir, the Jewish people called to me, to Hashem, from Seir, from being ruled over by Edom. And they ask, what's with the night? Shomer Mami Lyle, watchman, Hashem, what's with the night of Golos? How long are we going to be in this night of Golos? And the pasuk continues, Omar Shomer, the watchman, which is Hashem, answers, Osa Voiker, morning is coming, Geula for the Tzadikim, Vegan Loila, also night, darkness for the Rishayim, Imtiv Oyun Boyu, if you will seek, then seek and do tshuva. In other words, if you do tshuva, then the ge'ula can come in any moment. So we see that the word imtiv oyun boyu is associated with people. Like this, we're saying, how long are we going to be in Golos Edom? And so we see that the word imtiv oyun boyu means if you seek and you do tshuva. So we see that mava means a person. Which in that case, then, various Yishonim and Achronim talk about. So why, according to that, would the Mishnah be using such an unusual word as Mave just based on that pasuk? So there's a lot of different explanations, among them that Odom would include even an Eved and a Shivcha, and we're going to say soon in the Gemara that an Eved and a Shivcha are different. If your Eved or Shivcha cause damage, then you're not chayiv for it, for reasons that we're going to discuss soon. So therefore it couldn't have used the word Adam. There's an explanation because in the Pasuk itself, when it first starts talking about Nizke Adam, it includes, for example, where a person steals. The word Mave, we're saying, means the seeker, the one who seeks and looks for things. So that would refer then to a thief who goes and searches around and looks for things. And there's a number of other drushdik type of answers. There's an idea that the Tana didn't want to say the word Odom in connection with Mazik. You can't say a person is a Mazik. Odom word Loilam, fine, but still, to use the word Odom as one of the obvious Nezikin is not really right. So therefore, he wanted to choose a different term. And then there's a Musadik of Vorta in it that says, based on this pasuk, a person is always seeking. An animal doesn't seek. An animal needs its food, its shelter, or whatever, and then that's it. Once it has that, it's satisfied. A person is never satisfied. A person is always looking for something higher. If that's directed in the right way, then the person does. He becomes higher and higher in avodah and coming close to Hashem. If he misuses it, then he ends up looking for things that he shouldn't. Namely, he ends up causing damage. So therefore, the word mave is used for a person, according to that. Anyway, that's Rav. Shmuel am a mave zehashen. Shmuel says mave means the teeth of animals that damage. Also, you have a pasuk dichtiv eich nechtasu eichav nivu matzpunav. How is it that Esav has been searched out? His hidden things have been new. So my mashma. So where do we see that has anything to do with teeth? Then the answer is Kedim Targum Rav Yosef. As Rav Yosef translated the pasuk, this is part of Targum Yonason, who Targum Yonason translated the entire Nevi'im. Tosfos points out Rabbi Yosef was an expert in it, and therefore throughout Shas, these Targumim are always attributed to Rabbi Yosef, even though he's not the one who composed the Targum. Tosfos also mentions a possibility that some people explain, because Rabbi Yosef was blind, therefore he couldn't learn Torah Shebichsav, because he can't learn Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh, and therefore he had to focus on Torah Shebaal Peh, including Targum. However, Tosfos says that no, the fact is, it's an example of Eis Lasis Lashem. If his entire life he's not going to be able to learn Torah Shebichsav because of his blindness, then he would be mutter to do that. There's no, you're not going to say he's going to be usher.
Later,
we don't know when it was, but whatever it was, whenever it was, from then on, it was till the end of his life. So therefore, Tosfos says not that he had to focus on Torah Shebaal Peh, but that he chose to, kind of. He specialized in knowing the Targum. Anyway, so the Targum translates to the Pasuk. Ichdem Ishbalis Esav. How is it that Esav has been searched out? The context of the Pesukim is talking about that Esav's allies, that Esav's allies turned on him and fought against him. If Galyan Matmurohi, his hidden things have been uncovered. So therefore, Mava then would refer to the truth, to the teeth of animals, which sometimes are covered and sometimes are uncovered. The animal uncovers them in order to eat.
When the Esav turned, the 250 men turned on him?
No, not the 200, that was 400 men, but, no, in Evadia, this is from the Nevuah of Evadia, which is that Torah parashas by Yishlach. At some point during the history of Edom, they thought that they were going to be strong and powerful, and Hashem says, maybe it's something that happened in the past, maybe it's to a certain extent something that's going to happen in the future. Whatever it is, the point is that the Navi is saying, look at this, you Esav, you thought you're so smart, you thought you have your allies, you thought you're impregnable, and now it turns out that you've been plundered and destroyed just like everybody else. And he goes on to say that this is a punishment for the way you treated the Jewish people. Anyway, the point is that, so the word nivu means to be uncovered, like the way the teeth of an animal are uncovered when it's eaten. Marsha points out, both of these psukim then are referring to Esav. The first pasuk, os omar shema osa boiker imtu ba'oyun boyu, is talking about Golus Edom. And the second one is talking about what's going to happen with Edom themselves. And he explains, as we talked about a couple of days ago at the beginning of the Masechta, that he explains the four Avos Nezikin of our Mishnah represent the four different kinds of disasters that can strike the Jewish people, Rahman al-Islam, when Hashem needs to punish. And one of them is Cherev, one of them is the sword of Esav, that's represented over here by Mava, and therefore both Psukim over here are in connection with Esav. So the Gemara says, "V'Rav my time alone almost Shmuel." So why doesn't Rav now, given that you have this shirtish bays ayin hay in both of those different psukim? So why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel and say that Mava means shame because of the pasuk Eichnech Besuresav? And the answer is Amalach, because Rav would tell you Mikatoni Nive. After all, the word in the Mishnah over here is Mave, which is the active form of the verb. Nive would be the passive form. It is uncovered. That would fit with Shmuel's pasuk Nivu Matzpunav. His hidden things have been uncovered, and that would refer to the tooth. The tooth doesn't uncover itself. The animal uncovers it. So the word Nive sure would work very nicely for the teeth, but Mave, which implies that he uncovers, would have to refer to something else. Therefore, Rav says it can't be the teeth.
It'll be future, right?
Not past versus future. Mava is an active verb. He's causing something to happen. Niva is the thing has happened to him. The teeth don't uncover themselves. On the other hand, a person goes and searches out things. Therefore, Rav figures Mava more likely refers to the person who's the active agent over here. Oh, Shmuel, my time, Allah, Amaka, Rav. In turn, why doesn't Shmuel agree with Rav? Amalach, he says, Mikatani boya. Sure, but in the pasuk that you're quoting, Rav, the expression is into v'oyun boya. So there you have, there, the only prefix you have is a tough referring, you have a tough referring to other people, saying that you should seek out and you should do tshuva. But other than that, the word would be boya, which means to seek out, whereas in our Mishnah, it's mave, which is not quite the same thing. A person is boya. Mave would suggest something which is being uncovered, so therefore that suggests more the teeth. Well, the Gemara says, Mechti, kroi loik mar daiki v'loik mar daiki. Well, when you get down to it, psukim are not exactly like one or the other. Neither one exactly fits the word mave. So let's get back to the question. Rav my time alayam a kishmol. So why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel? Obviously, it's not only based psukim, because whatever objection Rav can bring on Shmuel's proof from the pasuk is going to be a question on him himself. And the answer is Tana Shur v'chol mila d'shur, because Rav figures once the Mishnah says Shur, it includes everything within the Shur. Now we said at the beginning, we said on Beis Amud Beis, there are three Ovis Nezikin within a Shur: Erem, Shein, and Regel. You have the animal can gore with its horns, it can eat food with its teeth, and it can trample on things with its feet. When the Mishnah says Shur, it includes all those three things. There's no reason to single out Shein separately as a separate listing in the Mishnah. Therefore, more likely, Mavir refers to a person, so then you have a shur, a burr, a person, and fire. A burr is a pit, so like a pit in the ground, a hole in the ground.
Why is it a fire?
It's not. We're saying two different things. You have two animate things. Shur, which is an animal that damages in one of three different ways. Burr would be a pit in the ground that an animal falls into. Mavir would be a person who causes damage, for example, by stealing or whatever. And hever would be fire. So Rab says there's no reason to say that Mava would be Shein, which is one of the things within Shur. You already have the word Shur in the Mishnah. It includes all of them. Okay. Shmuel Nami HaTonalei Shur. New. So what does Shmuel have to say to that? Omer of Yehuda, Tana Shur LaKarnei or Mava LaShinei. The answer is, according to Shmuel, the word Shur in our Mishnah means specifically Keren, when the animal gores with its horns, not like Rav is saying that Shur includes that as well as Shein and Regel. Shmuel is going to say Shur of our Mishnah means strictly Keren. And then, Umava Lashinai, then Mava means Shein, and then as far as Regel, the Gemara is going to explain soon why according to Shmuel, Regel is not listed separately in the Mishnah. So in that case, according to Shmuel, the flow of the Mishnah would go like this. Now, we said in the Mishnah, after it listed the four Ovis Nezikin, it said, Loi Harei Asher, Karei Amaver, Veloi Harei Amaver, Karei Asher. So, according to Rab, it means very simply, it means a Sher is not like a person, and a person is not like a Sher. Each one has unique features of its own. If it said only one of them in the Pasuk, you couldn't derive the other one from it, and therefore we need to be said both. According to Shmuel, the flow of the Mishnah would be like this. You can't compare Keren, where after all there's no hana, for the animal doesn't get any hana from goring with its horns, to Shein, sheyesh hana la'azeka. It's not like Shein, where Shein is different in that the animal enjoys the animal. When the animal eats something with its teeth, it benefits from it, because it likes the taste, it gets nutrition from it or whatever. Tosfos explains, in other words, when it comes to Keren, in other words, you could argue, therefore, that now if the animal goes and gores with its horns, then there's a certain degree of pshia involved. Because since the animal anyway doesn't get hana from it, it's much easier to prevent the animal from going and goring. On the other hand, Shein, you could argue, look, you know, what could I do? My animal wants to eat. I can't be on top of it 24/7. So when it ate some of your property, it's less my fault. Then therefore we're saying that no. If you had Keren, if the Torah had told us that, Keren is not like Shein, in that Shein, you could have thought, since it has Hana, it's harder to watch it, and on the other hand, you could say, on the other hand, when it comes to Shein, the animal doesn't intend to cause damage, when it comes to Keren, it does. So again, therefore, Tosfos types out. You could argue the other way around. Keren, the animal, it really wants to go and cause that damage, because it intends to cause damage. So you could argue maybe it's harder to watch it and prevent it from doing that. As opposed to Shein, okay, it likes the food, but it's not intending to cause damage, so it's easy enough to divert it to something else. So therefore, so that would be what the Mishnah means, that you can't learn one from the other.
I guess it is an enjoyment from the large frustration.
No, because we're not talking about that kind of enjoyment. We're talking about a gashmiistic enjoyment. We're not talking. So the Gemara asks, the law of Kavachoymer, who? Well, in that case, wouldn't it be a Kavachoymer? With an animal's teeth, it doesn't intend to cause damage, and you're still chayev. How much more so if the animal causes damage with its horns? Surely you should be chayev. So in that case, yes, the Torah could have said Shein, and you would have derived Keren from it. So why do you need, so according to Shmuel then, why do you need both of them to be said in the Pasuk? So in fact, Rashi says the question is also on the first one. You say you could have done the Kavach Homer the other way around also. Madach Teren, where it doesn't intend to cause damage, doesn't have Hanah from its damage, and you're still Chayav. How much more so Shein, where it has Hanah from its damage. Rashi also goes to point out that you can't say that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying the other way around, that Keren is weaker than Shein, and Shein is weaker than Keren, and therefore if you had learned Keren, you couldn't learn Shein from it. No, because the Gemara doesn't do it that way. When the Gemara brings two things, and it says that you want to learn one from the other, it always mentions the stronger one first. It always learns the one that you want to learn from. You first mentions the Chomer light, and then it mentions the Kal, sort of. So the same way over here, then. So so for example, when the Mishnah says, loy harei asher, and according to Shmuel now, we're explaining that mave means the animal eating. So now, for example, when the Mishnah continues that both of them have ruach chayim, both of them are living creatures, and they're not like fire, which is not. So therefore, if you had those two, you couldn't learn fire from it. So you see, in other words, what those, so we're always mentioning the one that you're trying to learn from and the one you're trying to learn to. So the same way in our Gemara over here, we're saying that because Keren doesn't have Hana, therefore you could argue it's stronger. In other words, it's more likely to say that you're chayev because, in other words, like Tosfos said, therefore, so it's more careless of you. It's so much easier to prevent the animal from going and doing something which anyway it doesn't get even Hana from, and therefore you couldn't have learned from that Shein, which is more difficult to guard because the animal does want to eat, and the same thing the other way around.
What connection there did we bring that mother means?
We said that Mava because Eichnech Besuais of Nivu Matzpuna, because his hidden things have been uncovered, and the same way as the teeth are sometimes uncovered. Yeah. Okay. So the question is though, but why? Given that Shein is in Kavanosir Lahazik, it's not intending to damage and still you chayev for your animal eating, how much more so when it comes to Keren that Kavanosir Lahazik, where the animal intends to cause damage, how much more so you should say that you chayev if you didn't watch the animal and prevent it from doing that? And the answer is, we still need to be told each one. Because otherwise you would think to compare to the case where a slave or a maidservant does hezek. Now, what happens? The fact is, if your Eved or Oma choose to cause a hezek, you, the owner of that Eved or Oma, are potter. Now, where do we get that from? Rashi says later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the dinim of one person injuring another in the eighth parak, we have an expression over there that says that an Eved or an Isha don't tangle with them, because if you injure them, you're going to be chayev, but if they injure you, they're going to be potter, because neither an Eved or an Isha has assets of their own to pay with. So therefore, so in effect, they're going to get away with it.
But they're hands of the Baldas. Baldas is chayev.
No, but that's what we're going to explain why in a second. But Tosfos anyway disagrees with that explanation of Rashi. Tosfos says we're not referring to that Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Rather, we're referring to a Mishnah in Masechta Yadayim, which Gemara is going to quote from in a second, where there it specifically mentions Eved Va'oma. The fact is, even though they intend to cause damage, you, the owner of Potter, so you could have argued by Keren, it's the same thing, that maybe you should be Potter, even though it intends to cause damage, and therefore you would have thought not to make that Kavach Homer, and therefore you need to be told Keren explicitly. We're going to explain now. So Omer of Ashi, Otu Eved Va'omer Lav Timer Rabba Yisbahu. However, Rav Ashi says that's not really a good comparison. So what are you telling me? Because an Eved and Omer, you're Potter, therefore you would have thought Keren, you're Potter as well. No, there's a very good reason why by Eved and Omer you're Potter. Based on a Mishnah and Yadayim. The Mishnah actually tells us over there, you have a series of Mishnayas where the Tzedukim are arguing with the Prushim, with the Chachamim. The first one of them has to do with a din involving Tumas Yadayim, which is why it's brought in that Masechta, and then from there it digresses to talk about several other things where the Tzedukim were arguing the Halacha should be a certain way, and the Chachamim are showing them they don't know what they're talking about. So one of them is that one of the Tzedukim says, you know what, it's not right. If you're Chayev for your, if you're chayev for your shor damaging, shouldn't you also be chayev for your evident omer damaging? And the Chachamim answer back, there's a difference, which Rav Ashi is going to quote over here. Shema yachtitenu rabbi, because after all, an evident and omer have das. Shema yachtitenu rabbi, what might happen is the master might provoke the evident omer, might get them angry for some reason. V'yelach v'yadla yudishay shachaveres, then the evident omer are going to go set somebody's hate, somebody's stack of grain on fire. And the result is the master every day is going to owe somebody 100 money. So when it comes to somebody who has das and evedor and omer, you can't make the master responsible for what they do, because since they have das of their own, what they're doing is they may be doing things deliberately in order to get back at their master. So therefore, you have to make them liable. So all it means is right now they don't have any assets to pay, but eventually, when they have assets, they're going to have to pay. So if they ever get freed or whatever, no reason to think that should be anything like that by a shur. So Rav Ashi is saying, in other words, that if you're telling me that you want to argue because we find those cases of Kavanos Lahazik and your potter, therefore it should be the same thing with Karen, therefore you need to be told Karen explicitly, doesn't really work. An animal doesn't have das, and Ebenor and Alma does. Now, so Tosfos points out, the fact is that the Gemara already knew that Mishnah before Rav Ashi even points it out. So what was the Gemara thinking to even compare to say that that Keren should be in the same category? So fine, the Tosfos says that still the question was, the fact is, an Eved or an Oma, your potter, whether Kavanos and Lahazik or not, and if the Eved or the Oma does damage unwittingly, you're also potter, even though you don't have that reason of Shemayat Yitenu Rabbi. So why is that? Because you have no way of knowing. They may claim that it was an accident, and really they're doing it on purpose. So therefore, you could argue that maybe Keren, you would have thought is potter as well. And Rav Ashi says no. The fact is, given that an Eved or an Oma have das, then therefore you're always going to have to potter them. You can't necessarily say that by Keren. Anyway, so Ela Porichachi. Rather, we could ask like this. You could figure lawyer. So the Mishnah would be saying as follows: lawyer iya keren shekavanos lahazik ki iashen shein kavanos lahazik. You can't compare keren where the animal intends to cause damage. You can't compare it to shein where it doesn't intend to cause damage. And therefore, in other words, if it said keren, you couldn't derive shein from it. The lawyer iya shein sheish hanol lazekoi ki iaken shein hanol lazekoi. And on the other hand, Shane, where you have a Hana, is not like Keren, which does not have Hana, and therefore you could argue that in that sense, maybe it's easier to prevent the animal from doing Shane than it is Keren. And therefore you can't learn one from the other. Okay, so Shmuel can explain the Mishnah that way. So therefore, Shmuel, in short, can explain that when we say in the Mishnah, Loi Harei Asher, Karei Amavet, Loi Harei Amavet, Karei Asher, both of them are talking about damages within the Shur itself. The word shur in the Mishnah referring to Keren, the word mava referring to eating with its teeth, and we're still saying that each of them has a unique feature that the other one doesn't have. So if it said Keren, you couldn't learn Shane, and if it said Shane, you couldn't learn Keren. Okay. The question then becomes, the regal mai. So what happens with regal? The fact is there is also regal, as we talked about yesterday, where an animal tramples or steps on things and then causes damage. So mai, what's happening with that? Shairi. Did the Mishnah just leave it out? Why would the Mishnah do that? Mela, according to Rav, that mava means a person and shur means all the various kinds of things within shur, then fine, regal is included in the word shur. But according to Shmuel, that you have shur means strictly the horns. And mava means strictly the teeth. Where's regal? And the answer is, shehizit chov hamazik la'asuya regal. The answer is, later on in the Mishnah, it says, when one of your possessions causes damage, then you, the mazik, are required to pay. So la'asuya regal, that comes to include also regal, so it didn't need to be spelled out explicitly in the Mishnah. Mephoshim point out that actually there are two places in Or Mishnayos where it uses that expression, called the Mazik. One is in Or Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, and another one is in the next Mishnah on Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is referring to that second one, because the first one, it's not something extra in the Mishnah, there the Mishnah has to tell us. There our Mishnah is just telling us, once it establishes that each of the four of us Nezikin has something unique about it, and therefore you can't learn one from the other, so the Mishnah is mentioning what they do all have in common, one of them being that his Chava Mazik. So there's no extra words over there. You need that. Lagufa, you need to be so. You need that to tell us that each of the four of us Nezikin mentions in our Mishnah all have this in common that you all have to pay. On the other hand, in the next Mishnah, when it repeats that expression, that you could say is extra. We already know that from the first Mishnah. Therefore, we can say that that extra wording is coming to teach us about a type of Ovis Nezikin, which has not been mentioned until now, namely, according to Shmuel, that would be red. Okay, so the question is, the listening of the Hedya. Fine. Still, why does the Mishnah have to use a roundabout expression like that? Let it say regal straight out, according to Shmuel. So Elo Amar Rava Tana Shur LaRagla Yomav LaShina. Rather, Rava says no. We're going to have to understand our Mishnah differently according to Shmuel. We're going to have to say Shur versus Mave in our Mishnah. Shur does not refer to Keren as we said till now. Rather, it refers to Regel. The word Shur in our Mishnah, when it says Shur and when it says Shur Bur Mave and Hever, the word Shur is going to refer to damages of Regel, where the animal steps on something and breaks it. Mather will mean the teeth, and Keren it's leaving out for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. So in that, Mather Lashina, and then Mather, according to Shmuel, is going to be the teeth. Vahochi Kamar, in which case then we have to understand the flow of the Mishnah a little differently. Before, when we said that Shur means Keren, we were pointing out that Keren and Shane, each one has a unique feature. We said Keren doesn't have Hana, Shane does. On the other hand, Keren intends to cause damage and Shane not. Now let's work out a similar thing as far as Regal and Shane respectively. The Mishnah then means like this. Loira ia Regal shehazeka matsui. What we find as far as regal, where it's a very common kind of hezek, is not yashen she'en hazeka matzui, is not like shein, which is not as common. So in other words, again, you could say, if the Torah had only told us regal, then you would say, you know what, sure, a person is chayiv in regal. It happens all the time. Anytime an animal walks someplace, it's bound to damage things, and therefore you're responsible to make sure that doesn't happen. Shein, you could argue, look, it was kind of an onus. I didn't know that particularly this time my animal was hungry. So therefore you'd think he's potter, and we have to be told that not. On the other hand, Shane, where there's Hana, is not like Regal, where there's not. So again, you could argue if the Torah had only said Shane, then you would say, sure, you're Machayev and B'Shane. Your animal actually got Hana out of it. So by all means, you have to pay. If nothing else, you gain the fact that you don't have to feed your animal next time. Regal, you're not gaining anything from it. The animal didn't gain anything from it. Maybe you should be Potter, and therefore Regal needs to be told separately in the Potter. Okay, so the question is, Keren Mai Shire. So what happens to Keren? Did the Mishnah forget to include it? And the answer is, like we said before, here's Chava Mazik Masri Keren. Like we said, the next Mishnah on Testament Days, when it repeats the expression, here's Chava Mazik, comes to include that. Okay, the question is, like we said before, the listening of behavior. Fine, so why doesn't the Mishnah list it explicitly? According to Shmuel, why doesn't the Mishnah list Keren and Shane and Regal explicitly? You're telling me that Shur and Mava of our Mishnah refer to Regal and Shane. So why are we leaving out Keren and only implying it in the words to his Kava Mazik? Why not list it explicitly in the Mishnah? And the answer is, b'mu'adin mitchilasin kamayri, the tamil will say mu'adin like kamayri. Because you could say, all the ones in our Mishnah have this in common, all of them are mu'ad to begin with. There's no difference between tam and mu'ad with any of the ones mentioned in our Mishnah. Shane, you don't say the first three times the animal, or according to Shmuel, shur means regal, now we're saying. We don't say the first three times the animal steps on something and breaks it. It's a tam, and then it becomes a mu'ad. No, the regal is mu'ad mitchilasai. To begin with, an animal is prone to do that kind of thing, to walk and accidentally step on things and break them. To begin with, an animal is prone to go and eat things. To begin with, a fire is prone to go and cause damage, and the same thing with birds. On the other hand, the tamin will serve mu'ad like hamayri. So we could say, our Mishnah is not listing things that are first tam and later mu'ad, which is the case with Keren. So you could say Keren is a different category. Of course, the Tana of our Mishnah knows there is an av nezikin of Keren. However, he's not mentioning it explicitly in our Mishnah because he wants to focus only on the ones that are muad mitchilasa. and Keren is not like that. So therefore, he leaves out Keren, and he's implying it later on with the expression on Tesla Basil, for his Kovamas.
Keren, it goes with
the nuts. Keren starts out as Tom and later becomes more. The first three times, the animal gores, comes out of town. Only if it keeps on doing it, then it becomes a mu'ad.
The Mishnah wants
to only focus on ones that are mu'ad to begin with, you could say. So that would explain the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Okay, so all of that covers now. So now we've covered why it is that we got into this discussion by saying, why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel? We said Rav doesn't want to say that shur refers to only one type of avos nezikin. In a shur, he wants to say the word shur, which is a generic word that means an ox, includes all the different avos nezikin in an ox. Therefore, according to him, the word shur of our Mishnah has to include keren and shein and regel, and therefore, according to him, mava has to be a person. So now we've answered, according to Shmuel, why not? We said that according to Shmuel, ultimately, when he came out, that Shmuel will say that the only, that our Mishnah is mentioning only Regel and Shein and leaving out Keren and implying it in the next Mishnah.
Because
we said that we're focusing only on more than Mitzvahs. But fine. But that at least explains why Rav says that Mava has to be a person. So we started by saying because Rav has a pasuk. But we said the pasuk itself is not so definitively appointed Rav, because after all, Rav's pasuk that says that Mava is a person into Boyun Boyu, then you should have to say the expression in our Mishnah should be Boya. So instead it's Mava, which suggests something somewhat different. So therefore we said Rav is not really getting, Rav has the pasuk as a support for the idea that Mava can mean a person. But what's the underlying svara that he says that it should is because he says shur has to include everything within a shur. So therefore, so Mava can't mean the truth, because it's already included in Shur, therefore we have to find something else that Mava means. Okay. Next, so Shmuel, my time like Omaka Rav. Next, why doesn't Shmuel agree with a Rav and say that Mava is a person? Why does he insist on saying that Mava is one of the ones within an animal, namely the truth, and therefore to have to say that Shur refers to only one of them? Why does he say like Rav that Shur means all three of them and Mava means a person? So the answer is Amalach. Shmuel can answer you. If you're going to tell me that Mava of our Mishnah means a person, Hakatani Sefer, then we have the Sefer of our Mishnah, which is later on in our Perek, where it mentions Shur Hamud, Veshur Hamazik, Veshur Sanizik, Veha Adam. You have, it mentions the various things. You have a Shur, which is Muad, which is already known to Gur. You have the case of a shur that causes damage in the Rishus HaNizik. It goes into somebody else's property and gores over there. Now, there we have, in other words, the Mishnah there is listing things that are muad to begin with. Namely, or not really to begin with, but things with the various categories of muad. Meaning like this. If an animal goes over in Rishus HaRabim and gores another animal, then we say the first three times it's tam, and only after the fourth time, only after the guy's been warned and based and repeatedly, does the animal become a muad. On the other hand, so we have, first of all, shur hamuad. When the animal is already muad, from then on, any goring that it does is going to be considered, it's going to be muad, and the owner is going to pay nezik shalom. Second of all, you have the shur hamazik, the shur hanizik. You also have when the shur goes into the nizik's property and causes damage over there. Now we're going to have in the second perek, we're going to have at the end of our perek, we're going to have Reb Tarfin, who says that in that case the animal is automatically muad. He says the whole concept of tam versus muad, as far as an ox goring, is only when it's in Rishus HaRabim or a place that's not specifically the Rishus of the nizik. But he says if a shur walks into the Rishus of a nizik and gores another animal, automatically it's considered muad. Well then, in that case, so that Mishnah mentions that, Vaha Adam, and then it mentions a person, because Adam Muad Lailam. So therefore, in other words, so Shmuel will say, look, later on in the Perek, you mentioned Adam. So there's no reason to single out Adam in our Mishnah, therefore Mave in our Mishnah must mean something else. The question is, the listening Bereisha, fine, even according to Shmuel, why doesn't our Mishnah mention Adam to begin with? Why does it leave it only for later in the Perek? And the answer is because you can say Beniske Mamon Kamayri Beniske Gufay like Kamayri. Because you could say the Mishnah wants to focus in our Mishnah only on things where a person's property causes damage, not where he himself causes damage. That's a different category, and therefore, of course, it is an Av Nizikin, but the Mishnah is going to leave it for later in the Perek. Doesn't need to discuss it right now. So Rav Nami Hokatani Adam Besefer. So you have to ask. Rav also knows that it says Adam later on in our Perek. So why does he say that Adam is also hinted at in our Mishnah? And the answer is Amalach Rabba, who the Mechshav Ibahad Mu'ad, and who the Asa. Because that Mishnah is coming to tell us that you should know a person is included in the category of Mu'adin. The Mishnah is mentioning over there, you have five cases of Mu'ad. Among them is a person. So therefore, so we need to be told that you were summarizing, in other words, we're saying that there are various categories of Mu'ad, one of them being a person. So Shmuel will say there's not really a chiddush of that. Now, later on in the Perek, when we talk about that list of five Mu'adim, then fine, there's a chiddush that Shein is Mu'ad to eat things that's appropriate for the animal to eat. Regal is Mu'ad to break things that it's going to step on or whatever, as opposed to, for example, when it kicks them, let's say, which we learned the other day is Keren. But a person, Shmuel is going to say, there's not really a chiddush in it. If we already say Adam in our Mishnah, there's no reason to also mention it later on. Whereas Rab is going to say that it's doing that in order to summarize altogether. Umay loy harei. So according to that, then what's that loy harei of our Mishnah, where we say that shur is not like mave and mave is not like shur? So you would say like this, hachikama, loy re'i ashur shem shalom asakoyfer. You can't compare shur, where if a shur kills a person, then the owner of the shur is paying a koyfer, is paying a monetary penalty, a monetary compensation to the family of the victim. We're going to discuss later on in the Masechta what the nature of that koyfer is exactly. Anyway, you can't compare it. Kari Adam Shane Mashalam is a koyfer. You can't compare that to a person who does not pay koyfer. So in other words, again, if one person kills another, he's not paying koyfer. He's getting executed. He's going to other mikvot or whatever it is exactly. In fact, Tosfos asked the question. Well, yeah, he's not paying a koyfer. Commonly, but that Adam, that's not a pula on a person. He's getting executed by Beis Din, so therefore, yeah, he's not paying. So Tosfos says no, because Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, that the fact is, even if he kills somebody b'shogeg, he's not getting Mrs. Beis Din, but he's not paying a koyfer either. Then Tosfos says that no, because the whole point that he doesn't pay a koyfer is it has really nothing to do with nothing really to do with kamle b'drabimine. The reason he's not paying a koyfer is based on other considerations. So therefore, you could argue, in other words, if the Torah told us only that a person is chayef, or is sure killing a person, you would say, you know what, the Torah is so machmir and makes him have to pay a koyfer. On the other hand, a person who kills somebody else is not chayef a koyfer. So therefore, you could argue by that logic, you could say, therefore, a nezek caused by a person is less serious than a nezek caused by a shur. And maybe, therefore, you should be more potter for it. And therefore, the pasuk has to tell us that not. And then on the other hand, when one person injures another, then he has to pay not only nezek, he has to pay also tsar and ripui and so forth, as we're going to learn later on in this chapter, as opposed to a shur, which does not. If a shur injures a person, you never pay the owner of the shur, only pays nezek. The concept of ripui and tsar and so forth does not apply to damage by a shur, as we're going to work out later in the Masechta. So they, forget about tam or mu'ad. Even if the animal is moored, if a shur kills somebody, that's one thing. But if a shur injures a person, the owner of the shur is paying only nezek, not any of the other things. He's not paying tsar, ripoy, etc. Those are only when a person injures another person. So you have a unique feature as far as a person that you don't have by a shur, and you have a unique feature by a shur, namely koifer, that you don't have by a person. So therefore, the Mishnah would be continuing. What do both a shur and a person who injure have in common? That they both regularly cause damage. Well, the Gemara says, if shur darka lahazik, does a shur regularly cause damage? And the answer is, b'mod. Yeah, if the shur does more, then it regularly causes damage. It's already got a tendency to do that. So the Gemara asks, Mu'ad darka lahazik, even a Mu'ad, fine, it's gored three times. Does that mean on an ongoing basis it's going to keep on doing that? And the answer is, yeah, you could say once the animal is moored, then yeah, it's usual for it to continue doing the same thing over and over. Okay, what about Adam? What about Adam Darkei L'Hazik? You're telling me, according to Rav, that Mava of our Mishnah means a person regularly causes damage? And the answer is, B'yoshin, yes, if a person is sleeping and he accidentally stretches out or whatever and breaks things nearby, then yeah, that can be considered Darkei. Still, the Gemara asks, Yoshin Darkei L'Hazik, is it really that common that a person causes damage when he's asleep? And the answer is, yeah, given to Kaif or Poshet Urchehu. And when a person is sleeping, he curls up and he stretches out. So it's a normal thing, therefore, that he will cause damage even without realizing it. And since Adam Mord Lo'ilam, then therefore he's going to be chayiv for the nizakim. Your Tosfos brings in what we mentioned the other day, that if somebody put kalim near him while he was asleep, then he'll be potter, because then it's a complete oiness. But yeah. Okay. So fine. What about, though, according to Rav, the Mishnah continues with Shmiras and Alecha, you're obligated to guard them. What do you mean, Adam Shmiras Gufa Yalav? Is a person obligated to watch his own body? Or what do you mean, Shmiras and Alecha? What do you mean, that you are obligated to watch something else? In the case, if Mava means a person, then a person is obligated to watch himself. You can't say, you're obligated to watch them. There's no them. It's you yourself. So then the wording of the Mishnah wouldn't fit. So the Gemara answers back. Really, time meich new, and according to your svara that you're asking the question, what about, consider, hodatani kauna? What about a braisa that kauna taught? Kauna was one of the uli amudoyim. He was a Talmud. We find him as a chaver of Rav and Shmuel. He's mentioned in a few places in Shas. He put together a collection of braisas on Nizikin, and it's called in a few places in the Gemara Nizikin de Beit Kauna. So he taught a braisa that supplements on Mishnah, where he says Abba Ovis Nizikin v'Odom Echaman. He spells out explicitly that Adam is one of the four Ovis Nizikin. So you could ask, Adam Shmiras Gufay Olavu, what does that mean? Again, how could you say that a person is responsible for watching his own body? The Lashon doesn't really fit. The Lashon of the Mishnah and of the Braisa suggests that you have something else, a possession of yours, which you're responsible to make sure that that you guard. But you can't really say that about a person's own guf. The same way as Rav Abohu told the Tanner who was teaching Kauna's Braisa that yes, you need to add the word when we say v'odem echamehen, odem shmiras gufay olav, that it means that the same way the person is responsible for guarding his shur and his bur and so forth, the same way he's responsible for guarding his own body and preventing it from doing damage. Hachanami, the same thing in our Mishnah, Tani, odem shmiras gufay olav, you can add that wording to the Mishnah. Not that you add into the Mishnah, but in other words, you're saying when the Mishnah says mava, and it says Shmiras in Alecha, it means each one in accordance with the appropriate thing of Shmira for that kind of thing. With an ox, it means to put a fence in front of it so it can't go out. In the case of a bow, it means to cover it, and so forth. And in the case of you, it means that you are obligated to keep your hands and feet where they're supposed to be so you don't cause damage. Okay. The Gemara says, Maskiflor of Mori. So now Rav Mori has a question. What did we say so far? According to Rav, Mava means a person. According to Shmuel, Mava means the teeth of an animal. Either way, we said each of them has a posif, but each one, the posif is not really so definitive, such a definitive proof for their opinion. And either way, we had a bit of a doshka to understand the flow of our Mishnah that says that there's a contrast between Shur and Mava and so forth. So Master thought of Mori. So the Mori says, how about here's another possibility of what Mava could mean. Maybe the word Mava of our Mishnah refers to damages from water. So what does that mean? Rashi says, for example, you could have a case where a person spills water in Rosh Hashanah and somebody else comes and slips in that and his clothes get dirty. Maybe that's considered an Av of its own. Now, to be sure, a person is chayav for such a thing, but that's considered a tolda of bur. So Rav Mori is arguing maybe our Mishnah, when it says Mava, is implying that that's considered an Av of its own. Now, Tosfos points out, first of all, in that case, where would you have a Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that refers to that? And the answer is, because since we have the expression, V'shilach es v'iron, so we talked about previously that V'shilach refers to the animal going and trampling on things, as we said, Meshalche Regal Asher V'Achamer, but nevertheless, the word V'Shilach we also find in the Pasuk in connection with water, V'Shileach Mayim Af Mechutzis, so therefore you'd have a basis for that, for saying that. Furthermore, Tosfos says that we have to talk about what exactly kind of damage with water are we talking about. Are we talking about, for example, that a person opened up a dam or something that was holding back water and it caused somebody else to get flooded? That would be considered koichai. That's the person's direct koyach. So that would be considered under the nezikin of a person. if it was koyach sheni, if it was that the water itself was too far away to reach it, but eventually the water kept on flowing, and then it finally caused damage, such a thing would be called groma benizikin, and the person would actually be potter for that. So what is the scenario we're talking about over here? So Tosfos says, first of all, you could be talking about koyach sheni, and Ramadi's argument is maybe that would be considered a separate av nezikin by itself. Maybe he would be chayev. Or we can be talking about, like Rashi says, we're talking about that he poured water out on the street and somebody came and slipped in it. We're going to learn later that's part of bur. Tosfos says, like this, a bur, to begin with, you had no right to dig a bur in a shasarab. On the other hand, here, you have cases, which we're going to learn later on, that you have cases where a person is allowed to pour out his water into the Shasarabim, for example, during the wintertime, the streets are anyway muddy, so you need to clean out your gutters or whatever, you're allowed to pour the water into the Shasarabim. Nevertheless, the halacha is, if somebody then goes and slips on it, you're still chayim. You had reshus to put it over there, but you didn't have reshus to cause a hezek. So now the Mori is arguing in that case, then so it's different than a burr, where a burr you didn't have the right to make in the first place. Here you have the right to cause the hezek. You're still just responsible for what happens as a result of it. Maybe it should be considered a separate av of its own. And where would we get that mava refers to water? As you have a pasuk in Yeshaya, kikdoyach eish hamosim, just like a fire burns and just like a fire melts things that are meltable, for example, wax or whatever, mayim tiva eish. And just as water makes the fire bubble, because when you put a little bit of water on a fire, then it bubbles. The point is, the pasuk continues. The same way, Hashem, you make known your name to your enemies. You punish them and you destroy them and you burn them up. The way that fire melts wax, or the way that fire makes water bubble and evaporate. So therefore, we see the word tiva is used in connection with fire. So maybe it is used in connection with water, rather. So maybe, therefore, mava of our Mishnah means water. The question is, miksiv mayim nivu. The fact is, the Mishnah doesn't say the water is nivu. The expression in the pasuk is mayim tiv'eh eish. Tiv'eh is lashon yachid. Mayim is lashon rabim. If the word tiv'eh was referring to the water, then it would have to say nivu or something like that, which would be in a plural. So it would mean then that the water causes the fire to bubble. But instead, it's the other way around. Tiva eish tiv. It says chi, meaning the fire, which is a singular, causes it to bubble. So therefore, it means the other way around. The fire evaporates and makes the water bubble. So therefore, so mava can't refer to the water. Because then the lashon of the pasuk wouldn't fit. The words mayim tiva eish suggest that we're talking about the active thing as the fire and the water is the recipient of it. The ema mava zeh eish. Fine. So say maybe that mava then refers to fire based on that pasuk. And the answer dechik is tiva beish hudetziv, because after all we just established that tiva refers to the fire. So the answer is, well, in that case, the fact is, our Mishnah mentions hever, which is fire, separately. So obviously, mava and hever are two different things. So hever can't mean fire. Now what is the Gemara thinking by that? What is Rav Zvid thinking? He knows very well that it says in the Mishnah hever. So the Pnei Yeshua says, maybe Rav Zvid thought there might be a difference whether you set the fire deliberately or whether the fire spread on its own. Either way, you're chayev, but you could argue that maybe those are considered two different avos nezikin. The Gemara still doesn't like that, though, because the fact is, they have the exact same dinim, regardless whether you set the fire or whether it broke out on its own. Either way, you're chayev for the results of it. So therefore, the Gemara says you can't say that. The chitema parushi kamafadish, so you could argue maybe the Mishnah is clarifying. Maybe it says mabeh, and it's explaining what is mabeh, hever is fire. The Yehoki Abba, then what do you mean Abba of the Zikin of our Mishnah? Shlosha Abba, the fact is then there'd be only three. Shur, Bur, and Mabe, which is also Heather. So you can't do that. V'chitema tona Shur de Ispe Tauti. You're going to say, like we said before, that Shur maybe includes two different Zikin in it. We said it can include Shane and Regal, for example. Fine, we said Keren we're leaving out because Keren is different because it sorts out Tam and later on becomes Mord. So fine, you would say that maybe when the Mishnah says Shur, Bur, and Mabe, and mother, that includes four of us nezikin, because shur includes two, and then you have bur as the third, and mother, which is also hever, is the fourth, and you could make it work that way. No, because still, the hachi abba, What about the Mishnah continues? Loi zev zesh yesh ben ruach chayim. The Mishnah says, shur and maveh, which are both living creatures, are not like bird, which is not. Is not like esh, which is not. So what do you mean? Esh ma'ayim ruach chayim isvei. Fire is not alive. And the fact is, the Mishnah says, neither of them, all of the ones above, shur and bur and maveh, are not like fire, because fire, we said in here, it's koyach ha'ma'urabo, you need wind in order to spread it. If you're going to say that maveh is fire, then you can't say fire is not like fire. So therefore, we can't say that maveh refers to fire. And we can't say it refers to water, again, because the wording in the pasuk implies that the word tiva is talking about the fire. So therefore, of necessity, that pasuk is not relevant to defining Ovis Nezikin. We're left with Rav and Shmuel's explanations of maveh being a person or maveh being the teeth of an animal, respect.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I have a question. What about a leak?
What about a leak of water? So, for example, so a leak of water, say, for example, so it talks about that in Bava Metzia. Let's say, for example, you live on a second floor.
Yeah.
Let's say you're pouring water on your floor and it goes and leaks into your neighbor's apartment underneath. So it depends, the Gemara says. If that water is dripping directly down, the moment you pour it, it's dripping down, then that's called chitzav. That's considered a tolda of esh in the sense that you're causing a damage here and it's spreading directly there. On the other hand, if it's that it gets absorbed into the floor and only eventually later on it leaks, then that's not considered. That's more of a groma. That's more of an indirect cause. You're not actually chayev for it. But yeah, as far as other cases of leaks, sometimes a leak will be considered a tolda of H because it'll be considered similar to fire in that it spreads from one place to another. Sometimes, as Tosfos said, you could have the example where you open up, let's say, a gate of a dam and the water comes pouring out directly and floods somebody's things. That would be considered koichoi. That would be part of a person causing damage. So you have different possibilities like that.
Okay.
Fine. Now that we've gone through the definition of the four Ovis Nezikin in our Mishnah, so now the Gemara is going to bring a couple of braises that list more Ovis Nezikin. Our Mishnah had said Abba Ovis Nezikin, now we're going to bring braises that say that there are more Ovis Nezikin than that.
But they're Ovis, not Ovis.
They're all Ovis, we're going to say. So Tony Rab, or Rebbe, Tony Rav Oshia, or Reb Oshia, Shloisha Osa Ovis Nezikin. There are actually 13 Ovis Nezikin. You have Shremachinam Vashoyal Noisesacha Vasoyther, the four kinds of Shremrim. We're listing them in the order. Tosfos points out, usually we list Shremachinam, Shremachar, Soicher, and Shoyal. Here we're listing them like as contrasts. A Shremachinam is Potter for almost everything, a Shoyal is Chayim for almost everything. So therefore we put them one after the other for the contrast, and Noisesacha and Soicher have very similar dinim. All of them are considered a type of mazik in the sense that any of them, if they don't watch the thing properly and they cause it to be damaged, then they're chayav to pay. So therefore, Rav Oshia can call them an av nezikin, each one an av nezikin of their own. Then you have nezik tzav ripui shevus uboshes. Then you have the five kinds of payments that a person may have to pay if he injured somebody else. We're going to talk about them extensively later on in the Masechta. Nezek is the actual fact that now the person is worth less as an employee. If you were to sell him as a slave with missing a hand, let's say, he's now worth less. That's Nezek. Tsar is the pain that was involved. Ripoy is the doctor's bills. Shevis is the fact that he had to take off time from work. Boshus is the embarrassment. And you have, by the way, each one of those can be individually. We're going to throw it. Sometimes you have a person that's hired to pay all five of them. Sometimes only four. Sometimes only three. Sometimes even only one. And you can have any one of them can be without any of the other ones. Therefore, each one can be considered an av of its own. So therefore, so you have so far the four shonim, the five types of payments, va'avod masnissin, and the four of our mishnah. So that makes 13. So hotlaisa, so that adds up to 13. Tosfos points out when you get down to it, a soicher, you have a machlokas in a few places in Shas, whether a soicher has the din in terms of what he's liable for with the thing that he rented, whether he's like a shremachinam or like a shremasacher, either way, then his dinim are basically like one of the other ones, so it comes out, even though you have 13 ovis nezikin, they have 12 different dinim. You don't really have 13 separate, different sets of dinim, you have 12. You have 13 types of ways in which damage can be done. Well, the question is, Vatani didan my time of Tony Hani. So why didn't the Tana of our Mishnah list any of the ones that Rav Oshia thought? So b'shleim al Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who says that Mabev, our Mishnah, refers to Shein, and according to him, Adam is not mentioned at all in our Mishnah. Fine, you could say b'niske mamon kamaydi, b'niske gofer lekamaydi. Our Mishnah wants to focus only on the nezakin that are caused by a person's possessions, not by him himself. The four shomrim and the five kinds of payments for injuries are all part of Adam. So according to Shmuel, those don't belong in our Mishnah because he says that Adam is not being included in our Mishnah at all. We're only mentioning it later in the parashah. El Rav, but according to Rav, who says that Mava includes the person, listening, then according to him, our Mishnah should mention them. So Rav says, fine, Tana Adam, b'chol mila de Adam. Fine, because our Mishnah says Mava, which according to Rav means Adam, so that includes all the various kinds of damages that can be caused by a person. Well, then that includes all the ones that we said so far. Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, Boshes, are all caused when one person injures another. Shem, Chinam, Shoyal, etc., are all a person borrowed or rented or whatever, something, and then it's chayav to pay. So therefore, so Rav says, doesn't have to list them out separately because everybody said Adam. Okay, the question is, what of Oshia Nami Hatanele Adam? So according to Rav Oshia, wouldn't we say, according to Rav, who says that Mava means a person, according to him, then Rav Oshia's Braisa already includes Adam, because he says that you have the four of our Mishnah, one of which is Mava. So according to Rav's understanding of Rav Oshia, you already have Adam in Rav Oshia's Braisa, so why would he be listing out separately? The answer is, Trei Gavni Adam, because you could say, there's two kinds of damage caused by a person. Tana Adam da Azik Adam, but Tana Adam da Azik Shur. You can have the case where a person damages somebody else, versus we have where he damages another person. In other words, Rav can say Mava of our Mishnah. When we say that Mava is the Adam, he means when a person damages somebody else's property. Now, for example, the same way as we have with Bur, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that Bur does not apply to Kalim. If somebody else's Kalim fell into your Bur, you're Potter. So therefore, an Adam, then you could be talking about that the person caused damage to somebody else's mama, to somebody else's Shur, then we're saying he's Chayim. So not necessarily though, with the word Mavim, meaning Adam, referred to where he damages somebody else. For that, you need Rav Oshia's listing out Nezek, Tzar, and so forth, which is where one person damages and injures another. So you have two different kinds. Well, the question is, Yochi Shur Nami listening today, Gavni Shur. By that logic, you would say there are two kinds of shur. Listen, shur da azik shur, but listen, shur da azik adam. Because after all, you can also have a shur can injure another shur, or a shur can injure a person, and those have different dinim. So according to Rav, why wouldn't it list those separately? And the answer is, hi mai, what kind of a comparison is that? Bishlema adam da azik shur nezikud mashalim. When a person injures a shur, he's paying only nezik. Adam, the Azik Adam, Mashalim Abadron. And if a person injures another person, he's paying not only Nezik, he might be paying any of the other four things as well, depending on the nature of the Nezik. So it's logical to distinguish between the two different types of Adam because there are different amounts of payments. On the other hand, El Ashur, Mali Shur, the Azik Shur, Mali Shur, the Azik Adam, when it comes to a Shur, though, what's the difference? Whether a Shur injures another Shur, or whether a Shur injures a person, either way, Nezik Udam Mashalim, he's only paying Nezik, because we said before, Amar Aleph, that when a Shur injures a person, the owner of the Shur is not paying Tsar, Ripul, or any of the others. So, if a Shur injures a person, the owner of the Shur is only paying Nezik. He doesn't pay Tsar, he doesn't pay Ripul, etc. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to explain that those concepts only apply when a person injures. So you're arguing that the Mishnah should have mentioned two kinds of shur. No, because there's no difference in halacha between them. Either way, you have the same kinds of payments. You only have nezik. On the other hand, when a person causes nezik, there's a big difference whether he caused nezik to somebody's property versus to the person himself, how many kinds of damage is he paying? One versus five. Therefore, Rav would say there's a reason to single them out separately. Okay, the question is, the four shomrim are all a case where a person damaged somebody else's property, because that's what we're talking about. Somebody else was mafkid his property by him, his shur or whatever, or he rented him his shur, or he lent him his shur or whatever, and it causes damage, and the katani, and we're listing them. So according to Rav, why would it need to do that? If we're saying that there's no difference in halacha between a person damaging If we're saying that we want to single out, we want to distinguish between a person damaging a person and a person damaging property, fine. So then in that case, so you have Mavev on Mishnah would be where a person damages somebody else's property. Odom would mean, then you have Nezek Tzal, Ripu Shevis, and Boshes would be where a person damages another person. So what would be the four Shomerim? Either way, you have them covered already. A Shomer is damaging somebody else's property. And the answer is, Bakatani, and yet the Braisa says it, and the answer is Tani Hazeka to be a dying, Bakatani Hazeka to be Mela. Because you could say there's a difference between something where a person was Mazik, where a person was directly Mazik, he took his hands and was Mazik something, versus where the Hezek comes on its own, meaning, in other words, what is it with the Shomerim? We're not saying when the Shomer actually damaged the object, we're talking about it was careless and it got lost or stolen or damaged or what have you. So that wasn't that he actually caused the Hezek directly, that was an indirect Hezek. And nevertheless, he's chayev. So according to Rav, in other words, you would say there are three categories. You can have where a person injures another person. That would be, so you can have where a person directly injures somebody else's shur or other property. That would be mavev on Mishnah, which is also included in Oshia's list. Then the Mishnah stops there. The Mishnah doesn't go and delineate out more detail nizakim of a person. It just says mava, which includes a person, including all the various kinds of hezek that a person can do. Reb Oshia then is going to be delineating out two, within that you have two other kinds of damage that a person might do. A person might injure somebody else, where then he's chayev in five things, and you might have where a person doesn't directly injure somebody else's property, but he indirectly causes it by being careless as a shomer, namely, that would be the shomer chinam and shoyol and so forth. So therefore, so according to Rav, it would work out well, and you could say that's what, so the Mishnah only mentions mavez or odim, including all of them generically under one heading, and Reb Oshia is spelling them out as you have three different groups. Okay, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Best Hashem, Reb Chiya is going to bring a brisa that there were 24 of us nezikim. So now we're going to have to deal with why our Mishnah doesn't mention 20 of them, and why Reb Oshia doesn't mention 11 of them. And we're going to get into that discussion, and then we'll continue from there. Best Hashem. Yeah.